Welcome, friends, to another edition of Economic Update, a weekly program devoted to the economic dimensions of our lives, those of our children. I'm your host, Richard Wolff. Quickly, a reminder, a volunteer, Charlie Fabian, stands ready to get suggestions and comments that you may have that will help us design segments for this program. Just let him know via email at charlie.info438@gmail.com. charlie.info438@gmail.com. Today's program is going to talk about a concept, a very important one that you may not know much about, that was developed by Karl Marx as part of his criticism of capitalism. He identified something that goes on in capitalism that's built into it, but that has momentous political and social consequences. Many people have lost sight of what Marx figured out, that the very core of capitalism, the way in which capitalists collect money and invest it to make profits, that central driving force of the capitalist system, produces what Marx called uneven development, that it is built into capitalism to create severe unevennesses of all kinds, and that the corollary, the implication, if you like, of Marx's insight is that if you want to solve many of capitalism's problems, you're going to have to deal with the core reality of it, because that's where the uneven development comes from that creates the problems. And I'm going to try to make that case because I want to revive the pertinence and the benefits we can get from understanding Marx's concept. Marx noted it, first of all, in the changing pattern of how people live. Feudalism was in many ways spread out over the countryside. Capitalism, in contrast, created the fundamental separation of town and country, gathering more and more people into more and more restricted areas that we now take for granted as cities and towns or megalopolises, whatever we call them. But this divergence had enormous effects and comes out of the logic of capitalism. And it implies that if you want to get rid of some of those effects, which we'll be talking about, you're going to have to deal with capitalism because that's the underlying problem. Then there are developed and undeveloped countries, developed and undeveloped regions. There are even developed and undeveloped neighborhoods. And we all know that. We know where to go in the community where rich people live. And we know where to go where poor people live. And we know where to go where the industries are concentrated and where the stores are. We separate these things out. You know why? Because it's profitable to do so. Corporations have discovered it's profitable to create a hierarchy of pay scales. The worst pay at the bottom, then middle levels, and then big pay at the top. And you know what that means? It means many things adjust to this way that capitalism organizes its profit-driven activity. There are rich neighborhoods and poor. The rich people have the resources to live there, to bid up the value there, to pressure the local politicians to clean those streets more, and so on. That's where the police go to serve you or to keep out the people that don't belong there. The whole system is divided up in ways that come right out of core decisions driven by profits and decided by the tiny groups of people that sit at the tops of corporations. We also have the logic of capitalism producing big businesses versus small ones. And the big businesses are given advantages, cheaper cost of credit, more favorable treatment by political authorities because the big businesses are in a position with their big profits to shape public opinion more than the little ones can, and on and on and on. We are familiar in our society with talking about the gaps between white-collar and blue-collar jobs, between men and women, white and non-white, more educated, less educated. But this comes out of the different requirements, different pay scales, different levels of responsibility that are organized in and by the corporation, the capitalist enterprise. We have been talking about the injustice here in the United States, particularly, of the fact that women get, what is it these days, 80 cents for the dollar the man gets? That African Americans have way lower incomes, way lower wealth than the whites? This has been true not just for decades. This has been true for centuries of capitalism, which seems not only not to undo or overcome these problems, but if you understand Marx's argument, to come right out of them. And then we have perhaps the most profound example of uneven development. The fact that the bringer of capitalism, if you like, its birthplace, Britain, rode the capitalist profit cyclone to the heights of power and wealth, the British Empire of the 18th, 19th, and into the early 20th century. The sun, the British people said to themselves, never sets on the British Empire, because as it goes around the sun, every part of the earth is bathed in sunlight, and the British control enough of that earth that they're never without the sun. What a pinnacle. But now enter the capitalism that brought them there, has knocked them down. The British working class is now among the poorest and most stressed working class in all of Europe. Where once upon a time in capitalist Britain, it was the dominant, and the United States, the small junior partner, we now live in a world where capitalism has reversed that relationship. The tail is wagging the dog. Northern Italy and Southern Italy are classic examples. But again, the biggest one, that the American empire, raised up by American capitalism, particularly since the Civil War, has in the last two or three decades started its decline. And capitalism, looking for profits, has moved. Its dynamic center isn't North America, Western Europe, and Japan. That's where it was. But uneven development means it's going down there, bringing all the problems of a declining capitalism. And where has it gone? To China, to India, to Brazil, and on. Just as it left New England to go to the Midwest, just as it left the Midwest to be renamed the Rust Belt, capitalism's uneven development shakes and transforms the whole world and brings with it the suffering, the misery that is the other side of the concentrated wealth of the profiteers. Let me give you another example, perhaps closer to your immediate experience. When capitalists decide that it's profitable to be near one another, to gather together, so they minimize the cost of shipping each other's products to one another, collaborating on joint products, sharing public facilities, whatever it may be, then they agglomerate, we say. They bring people together in the big city. Yeah, but you know, where are those people gonna live? particularly those who are in the upper half of the income distribution. And remember, the top of the corporation in America these days earns 200 to 300 times what the bottom does. We're not talking about a vast middle class, not at all. We're talking about extremes. And those coming in with the big bucks, they look to buy the houses in the neighborhoods where they can reinvest that big money and take an old townhouse and make it beautiful, agglomerate three apartments that were small into one really magnificent one. And they look wherever they're close to a nice river, a hill, the factories where they go to work, whatever. And they move in, and you know what? Up goes the price of rent or house in wherever they move. And you know what that does? It makes it impossible for the people who used to live there to stay there. We have a name for this because it happens so often. Gentrification. That's a product of capitalism's uneven development. The rich move in, and they take a lot more square foot per person than the poor could afford. So the poor are pushed out, and they're pushed into other places that they can afford, which turns those other places into lower profit situations, lower rents. Unless there's too many of them, then they will drive up the rent, and the gentrification spreads. New York City is a wonderful example, as it spread from one part of Manhattan to another, from Manhattan to Brooklyn, from Brooklyn, and on and on and on. There's another name, and I want to end this first half. There's another name of the consequence of uneven development that's much in the news these days. If you develop your economy unevenly, if you concentrate capitalism in one place, the city, not the rural area, North America, not South America, Western Europe, not Eastern Europe, you know what's going to happen? You're going to see rising production, more jobs, maybe even rising income in those concentrated areas. But the flip side is it's not happening in the rural, in South America, in Eastern Europe. And if you have these kinds of uneven developments, you are creating the incentive for the people in the areas that don't develop to move to where the development is occurring. You want to know why we have waves of migration, why immigration can and does become a problem periodically in capitalist societies? Well, now you know. It's because capitalism develops unevenly. It wasn't just the 19th century history of America that brought waves of immigrants here. We have waves of immigrants now, both into the United States and in many other areas of the world. And you know the areas they're leaving? They tend to be those neglected or underdeveloped by capitalism. And you know where they're going? To those areas that at least were, even if they aren't anymore, the growing parts of capitalism. You want to deal with immigration? Its core cause is uneven development. After the break, we'll come back and talk about some of the amazing social consequences we can now understand and deal with when we see their roots in capitalism's uneven development. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back, friends, to the second half of today's economic update. We're talking about uneven development. Marx's insight that whatever else capitalism does, and alongside whatever wealth it creates, and it does, there's also the other side which capitalists and those who love it tend not to see or to undervalue. It's where they create poverty alongside wealth, misery alongside rising standards of living. That's always been true. As Marx once said in an aside, capitalism is just as successful in reproducing poverty as it is in producing wealth. Well, uneven development is Marx's idea that we've been talking about, and now I want to give you both a few more examples and then show you the consequences of this uneven development. We have developed the coasts here in the United States, east and west, at the expense of a neglect of the middle. It's obvious in 100 different statistics, whether you look at the city of Detroit, or you look at the economy of Nebraska, and or wherever else you go. We know the difference between the declining neighborhoods and the rising. Keep in mind that capitalism, again starting with Britain, developed the greatest colonial empire anyone had ever developed, far more than any previous empire had been able to go. Yes, the Greeks and Romans and others had empires before, but never global in scope the way modern capitalism did. And nothing is starker than concentrating the wealth of a capitalist empire in London or Paris or Rome or Berlin, and the poverty and the active underdevelopment, the destruction of industries in the colonies. They were to be producers of food and raw materials to be shipped where they could be enjoyed in abundance in London, but poverty was the condition of those who actually produced the tea that the British drank, or the cotton that the British wove into textiles and clothing and built their empire. Yeah, the colonial heritage we still live with, the absurd inequality suffered by the people of Asia, Africa, and Latin America relative to the old colonial masters. Yeah, capitalism developed the unevenness that we somehow assign to colonial people, even though it's crystal clear where the problem lay. And then there are some of the auxiliary effects. We develop different educations for those who sit at the top of the corporate ladder. They need a Harvard and a Yale and a Princeton and a business school and all of that. But those in the middle and those at the bottom, well, they don't. They can have, let's see, high school education, or maybe a couple of years at the community college. We all understand the difference. That flows out of the way capitalism unevenly uses human beings. It doesn't create a community of equals. It creates a hierarchy of unequals. And that's the education system we have. It is so bad that in large swaths of the public schools in the United States, the teachers in them, some of my relatives, refer to them as holding pens because so little education is possible. And we've had that for decades because that's the capitalist need. It doesn't want to spend money on someone who's going to be a clerical worker, a fast food worker, etc. Those mentalities come out of capitalism's uneven development. And here are some of the implications beyond those I've mentioned. When capitalism destroys large areas of the economic foundations of the Middle East or North Africa or Central America, and vast numbers of those people leave for the United States or Europe or wherever they end up going, it becomes easy to understand that this causes suffering to the crowded, low-income or declining areas in those parts of the world that the migrants go to. and you can prey on the upset of those people, and you can blame the migrant instead of understanding how this is a historical phenomena that has happened for centuries under the capitalist growth to dominate the world economy that has happened. Instead of seeing that, no, you're all caught up and the story changes. The immigrant becomes someone seeking a free lunch, a free ride, unentitled, a criminal, Even people in the United States who are the descendants of immigrants, as most Americans now are, given the ethnic cleansing of the indigenous people that was undertaken here, even those descendants of immigrants are quick to blame the ignorant, to blame the victim, to blame the migrant. The migration is the end of a series of events that begins with the spread of capitalism and its ways of paying more and less, of ripping off large parts of the world for the food and raw materials that are sent back to a very small part of the world to create wealth there and to concentrate that wealth there. All kinds of bitternesses among people happen because they blame one another rather than the system that brought them to a clash. Imagine with me, and this was Marx's insight, imagine with me the ability to see what capitalism has done and to say we have to change to a system that doesn't develop unevenly. If our cities are overcrowded, why do we have them? Why do we not spread our political, cultural, recreational, and other facilities much more generally across the countryside? What's the issue here? Why are we all living in this overcrowded situation, which, by the way, as the empire goes down, as capitalism moves out of the United States, you know what's happening? It's happening all around you. The economic reality here is we're not as prosperous as we were. We're not paying the taxes we once did. Our governments, therefore, don't have the revenue to maintain the schools, the hospitals, the streets. Everything we need is being pinched. If the governments maintain them, it's only by borrowing, and that just kicks the problem down the road. In the future, we'll have to worry about the streets and schools and hospitals and the interest on all the borrowing we've done. Everybody understands that somehow. And we can't maintain the urban infrastructure we had to build up to accommodate capitalism. And guess what? If you close the door to migrants, even if you're able to do that, that's not going to solve your problem. You haven't dealt with the problem. You've pretended that problem isn't there. You've never read Karl Marx's work on uneven development, and neither have your teachers, and nor have your journalists or your politicians. No one talks about how capitalism works to produce these problems. So guess what? The solutions don't work. We get social divisions, hostilities. Newcomers get the treatment old comers got when they were the immigrants. It's normal in the United States to understand that what happened to the British, what happened then to the German and the Irish, what happened then to the Polish and the Jewish and the Russian and the fill in the blank, happens to the Puerto Ricans later, happens to the Central Americans now, and on and on. Yeah, you know why it continues? Because the underlying cause is not understood and not addressed. People have fight over gentrification. I want to hold on to my neighborhood. I want to. Yeah, but you're not doing and understanding what you have to do to get that to happen. Otherwise, the gentrification will happen underneath, around, over, and while you're not looking. And that's as it's happened in every city across the United States and in many other countries. Once you understand the underlying structure of capitalism, in which what's profitable is what gets done, and the costs of doing what's profitable to everybody other than the people who get profits, the rich, the investors, the corporate boards of directors, what's bad for all of them and for the society made up by all of them, because they're the majority, is a connection of social problems which are carefully to be understood as not connected to capitalism. And that's no accident. The important thing about not acknowledging Marx's insight is it's part of the program to make sure that whatever social problems arise, however urgent they may be, that the general approach to them will not point the finger where we're pointing it, to an underlying capitalist system. That has to be taboo. So we can talk about migration being stimulated by poverty, or stimulated by climate change, or stimulated by warfare in foreign countries. All of those are okay, because they leave untouched, uncriticized, unaddressed the underlying capitalist system, which is the one consistent cause of all of these problems, not just migration. The difference between good schools and bad schools. As many of you scurry around to have your children in a better one, of course you do. You don't want them to go to the other kind. But you have to ask your question, why are we doing this? Why are we the umpteenth generation to do that or try to for our children? Because of the uneven development that plunges us into the necessity of making such choices at enormous expense, not just to us, but to the children who end up homogenized, out of touch with all the others who could have and would have enriched their lives in ways they'll never know. Marx was a great thinker. You make no advance in your own understanding by not understanding or not reading Marx. It's a tragedy of American education, but of course, it has the same root. Marx pointed the finger at the system he criticized and showed why he was a critic. And that's the taboo that cannot be challenged. Even now, as the failures of capitalism, particularly in the Western part of the world, are opening the eyes of people to what it means when capitalism's uneven development condemns where you live to be the part of unevenness going down because the upscale, the up elevator, has moved on. Thank you for your attention. I hope you found this an interesting program. And as always, I look forward to speaking with you again next week.